secretary is able to privatize, but he has to go through certain functions, and he also has to show a substantial savings from it. The legislature defined what that substantial savings would be, and they're not saying to the secretary, you privatize because you think it's something that you need to do. They're saying, you will privatize. And that flies in the face of Chapter 944. He's basically being given a mandate as he's walking in the door. Secretary Buss just came from Indiana. He was highly regarded. I think he's well-respected throughout the nation. And he comes into Florida, and the first thing that the legislature does is they give him this 18-county prison privatization mandate, basically. So he's scrambling right now to try to enact this law on the tight timeline that they gave him. And it was done at a very high level of the legislature with very little public input. And we think that if the public was aware of, you know, the spotty record of privatization here in Florida and throughout the nation, they would be a little hesitant to see such a major expansion.
So what are you asking for in the suit specifically?
Specifically, we're saying that it should be done appropriately. It shouldn't be done. You cannot change substantive law through proviso language. That's a no-no, and the legislature knows better than that, and they did that for a reason. They did it so it would not have the public scrutiny or input that it wanted. So we're asking them to at least go back, and if they're going to do it the right way. Hold public hearings, hold public meetings. And the other thing we're saying is that we don't think that privatization will actually save the money. You have to justify the need for this. There needs to be a business case. They need to show that they can actually save better than state facilities save. And all that can be done if they follow the proper protocol that's already in statute.
So lay out for me what, because I know there's so many other reasons that the PBA's got to be against this effort. I mean, for one, you say 4,500 pretty well-paying jobs are going to be gone if this goes through.
Well, you know, and that's kind of the bread and butter reason why, obviously, we represent correctional officers in South Florida, and there's about 5,000 correctional officer jobs that are currently under the Department of Corrections. Those jobs, come January 1, would be transferred to a private corporation, and for them, for the officers, they're going to have to make some really tough life-changing decisions. They're going to have to decide, do they want to stay in corrections, one? If they do, do they want to go private and stay where they're at, or do they want to go to a state facility, which means they're going to have to uproot their family and move to a state facility somewhere else in Florida? So you're asking some folks in a six-month time period to completely change their career path so that a private company can incarcerate people for a profit. And that's kind of the overarching thing. I mean, we're an organization made up of professional law enforcement and correctional officers. We don't believe that public safety should be done by people that make a low salary that aren't career-minded folks. I mean, to a lot of the people that get jobs in private security or private corrections, this is just a job to them. It's not a profession. It's not something that they're going to be sticking around with too long. And the studies that show the turnover rate within private companies backs me up on that. These folks aren't career-minded people. So you're seeing this shift in the professionalism of public safety. You're putting a lot of jobs at stake, and you're doing it philosophically so that a private corporation can profit off of the incarceration of someone else. So basically what you're saying is, I'm a private corporation, and I'd love to have you commit a crime so you could come spend time in a cell for me, and I could make some money off that.
That's right. There's not much incentive for rehabilitation there, is there?
No. Crime cannot go down if you're trying to make a profit off incarceration.
So where do the lawsuits stand right now?
We have a hearing on count one, which is the kind of the major one, the constitutionality of this whole thing, on September 29th. Possibly count two will be heard then, too. If not, count two will be heard in October, maybe around October 26th. So we're waiting to see if count one is going to hold up. We're fairly confident that it will. And if it does, we think that that will knock it back to the legislature, and they'll be forced in the next session or in a special session to do it right or not do it at all. And we think once the public gets aware of exactly what the legislature was up to, they're not going to want to see this done on that massive of a scale.